Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at TheMeatEater.com. Hope to see you at the show.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer North, and today we're joined by special guest Chris Parrish. In addition to Chris, we also have Steve, Brody, Sean, Corinne, Gabby, and Logan Dove. Now, Chris, how do you feel about trivia?
I'm usually not very good at it.
Not very good?
I think he's going to do good, though.
In like what, like Jeopardy, you're not very good. Trivial Pursuit, you're not very good. What kind of trivia do you consider?
Oh, I've only played those ones that are sitting on the table at a bar, you know.
So. This is unique. I think you got a better chance here. And Logan, I don't believe you've been on the show before, so tell folks what you do here at Meat Eater.
Yeah, so I work on the digital product team and help manage the website operations for stuff that comes on the website. And just developing features around that.
We asked Byron that same question, and we still didn't know what he did after he answered. Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And for the stat of the week, this week, we're specifically looking at guest performance. This is data compiled by taking every guest score from Cam Haynes to Jim Heffelfinger to Michael Waddell and everyone in between. Our best performing guests have been Tucker Carlson, Brent West, Dustin Huff, and Andrew Zimmern, who each got 5 correct answers. And on average,
Huff won with 5?
He won with 5. He went to overtime, and then he won it that way.
Oh, that was a tough round.
And on average, our guests get 3.47 correct answers. So that's what you're going for today, Chris, is to beat 3.47. Their best category is cooking, where they get 42% of answers correct, which is about the equivalent of Seth, who gets 41% of cooking questions right. And their worst category is hunting, where they get 28% of answers correct, which is about the equivalent to Corinne, who gets 29% of hunting questions right.
Woo-hoo. That's kind of a savage stat, I'm not going to lie.
Thanks for that, Spencer.
Our guests do best in cooking and worst in hunting. Now, in a previous game of trivia, I asked the room what animal lays the biggest egg. The correct answer was ostrich, but a handful of folks wrote in to say that whale sharks actually produce eggs that are twice the size as ostrich eggs.
Remember I was kind of complaining about
answer?
That?
Yeah. That was
But here's the catch. Whale sharks don't lay eggs like bass or catfish or trout. Instead, whale shark eggs hatch inside the mother's body, which makes them ovoviviparous. So they've never actually laid an egg. Now, if the question was what animal produces the largest egg, the answer would be whale shark. But since the question was what animal lays the largest egg, The answer was ostrich.
I like that.
This is why now and then, when you're bitching all the time, you miss stuff.
Yeah, I like that clarification. See, that's good.
You've been new-hearted.
Yeah, you get new-hearted.
Also, in a previous game of trivia, Steve declared himself the silent killer. But a listener wrote in and said that instead of the silent killer, it should be the silence killer because he never shuts up.
We should create a silencer named like the Steve-O or something.
Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. So it's not the silent killer anymore. It's the silence killer. And with that, we're on to trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Suckers.
Question one. This will be multiple choice, and the topic is woodsmanship. What outdoor activity accounts for the most lightning strike victims? Is it fishing, hiking, camping, or horseback riding? Again, what outdoor activity accounts for the most lightning strike victims? Your choices are fishing, hiking, camping, or horseback riding. Some quick, confident answers in the room.
From who?
I saw you write pretty quickly. I thought I saw to my right here people were writing pretty quickly. So mostly.
You look like Brody was hemming and hawing.
Oh, he's erasing.
My marker doesn't work. You got a marker?
Oh. Again, your choices are fishing, hiking, camping, or horseback riding for which outdoor activity accounts for the most lightning strike victims.
You know, I don't want to break the silence here, but
please.
We need a shattering.
I don't really like my pen.
Too.
Yeah? You want a new one?
No, just in general. No. The style.
The style.
The caps come off too easy.
Corinne, can we get new whiteboards, you think?
Yeah. Sure.
We got the budget for that?
Yeah.
Does everybody have
so
an answer?
Petty.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying camping, Chris saying fishing, Logan saying hiking, Brody saying fishing, Sean saying camping, Gabby saying camping, and Corinne saying fishing. The correct answer is fishing.
Damn it.
Dang.
What'd Brody write?
Metal rod.
Son of a bitch, yeah. Really?
According to data from the National Lightning Safety Council, anglers are the highest risk group for lightning strikes. Of lightning strike victims doing a leisure activity, about 15% are fishing, 8% are camping, 4% are hiking, and 2% are horseback riding.
Read the question again.
What outdoor activity accounts for the most lightning strike victims?
Okay. I think you just screwed up for real this time.
Uh-oh, what's wrong?
I think
you're
so too.
You're answering it as percentages. You're not answering it as total incidents. You didn't ask percent. You didn't say rate of. No.
No, it is not. It is not the
Way
same thing.
Way different.
No, it's like we had 1,000 lightning.
Read the question again.
Totally with Steve on this.
What outdoor activity accounts for the most lightning strike victims? It would be like we had 1,000
samples.
You're giving
percent. No. You are just wrong.
Okay.
You are giving
50% is the number one. That's the top percentage.
No.
It would be total number.
Because if there's 10
not the
million
highest
campers,
rate.
If there's 10 million campers and only one fisherman,
it's not the highest percent of lightning strike victims.
What outdoor activity accounts for the most lightning strike victims? It would be fishermen.
No, you need to go total incidents. You did not give it at rate.
Here we go.
If you'd have given it at rate, I would absolutely have said fishing.
I promise you this is correct because it's like if they took 1,000.
Ask him, he's a scientist.
Let's talk this out.
Don't ever call me that again.
They had 1,000 lightning strike victims and 15% of them were fishermen, then they were the most struck group by lightning.
No. You need to tell me.
That outdoor activity.
You need to put an asterisk here because listen to me. You need to tell me how many.
We have 60 more seconds to argue this point.
How many victims does camping produce? How many victims does fishing produce? It does not matter about rate of incident among user group. How many raw numbers?
I'm not saying among user group. I'm saying of lightning strike victims, 15% of lightning strike victims are fishermen. And then you have 8% of lightning strike victims are campers, 4% are hikers, and 2% are horseback riders.
Phil, edit that all wrong.
Moving out.
Standing. You guys truly are
a family here. Took a long time to get there, but we got there.
I love it.
We good?
Wow, that only took about 30 seconds.
No. It's not
15%
of anglers are struck by lightning. It's 15% of people that are struck by lightning are anglers.
Well, I wasn't listening.
Question two. The topic is conservation, and this is our listener question of the week, which was won by George Edson for sending this great question. George is going to get a Meat Eater spice kit and a Meat Eater hat signed by Steve. If you want a chance to win the listener question of the week, send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. Name the state with either the most or least bald eagles. So you can name one of two states here. I'm looking for the state with either the most bald eagles or the state with the least bald eagles. Very quick answers in the room. Again, name the state with either the most or least bald eagles. Chris, you think you know this one?
I'm not confident. Because
is this like the little bone you throw people?
Right.
This is the one. This is the bone.
You ever throw me a bone?
10 of them each week.
Every mountain man question that comes along.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Alaska, Chris saying Alaska, Logan saying Florida, Brody saying Alaska,
Gabby's
Sean saying Alaska,
in,
Gabby saying Hawaii.
That was a very good answer.
Saying Florida. Ooh, the state Hawaii. With the most bald eagles is Alaska, and the state with the least bald eagles is Hawaii.
Nice. That was a great, call.
That was a good one.
Which put down, Brody?
Alaska.
There are 30,000 bald eagles in Alaska, while there are none in Hawaii. After Alaska, the states with the most bald eagles are Wisconsin, Florida, and Virginia.
Logan,
they got any big raptors in Hawaii?
Run to question
Not
three.
That I'm aware of. Yeah. I should always qualify at that. Because anytime I'm dubbed as an expert, I just say, nah, not really. I have experts on our team, though.
Question three. The topic is cooking. That's Steve's motto as well. He's not an expert, but he hires experts like me at the job. Question three. The topic is cooking. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources rebranded this fish as Kopi in an effort to get more people to eat them. Looking for what the fish used to be known as, and I'm going to ask you to be specific. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources rebranded this fish as Kopi in an effort to get more people to eat them. Kopi, it is C-O-P-I. Very quick answer from Brody.
Mm-hmm.
Who I think is 2 for 2.
I just read this article the other day.
Oh, son of a bitch.
That's a hint.
Dang it. You know how they call... They like to call chum salmon keto salmon now. It's
Whole
like
Foods?
That kind of thing.
I know, that's bullshit. Yeah.
How do you spell keto?
It's the name. It's on, what's that? How do you say it? It's like Corinthians.
Yeah.
On Corinthians keto. And so whole or dog salmon, but Whole Foods sells it as keto salmon because no one wants to buy dog salmon.
Does everybody have an answer for what a Kopi is? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying silver carp, Chris saying carp, Logan saying carp, Brody saying silver carp, Sean without an answer, Gabby saying snakehead, and Corinne saying snakehead. The correct answers, which there are multiple of, would be Asian carp, silver carp, big head carp, black carp, or grass carp. I am not going to accept carp.
That's right.
For just writing down carp.
What about a half a point?
No.
It sure isn't the common carp. That's why, Logan.
The room did fairly well. Question four. The topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us from Mary Kordsmeyer. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. The Devil's Hole pupfish, which is considered one of the rarest fish in the world, is only found in one national park. What is it? The Devil's Hole pupfish, which is considered to be one of the rarest fish in the world, is only found in one national park. What is it?
I might be wrong, though.
I got to think. I need about 10 minutes. Give me about 10 minutes.
A quick answer from Brody, but...
But now I'm questioning it because I think it might be another one. But
we are looking for the national park where the Devil's Hole pupfish lives.
Son of a mother scratcher.
Does everybody have an answer?
For that cow call, Steve, I'll let you cheat.
You know this one, Chris?
I'm not sure I do.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
That was pretty good. Oh, you got it in your mouth. That's why I said that. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We got Steve saying Zion. Chris saying Death Valley. Logan saying Everglade. Brody saying Death Valley. Sean saying Yellowstone. Gabby saying the one in Alaska. And Corinne saying Grand Canyon. We have a correct answer in the room. And it is Death Valley.
Ah, wow. Damn it.
Brody, you had it.
Well done.
God, Brody's kicking my ass.
I think they, didn't they nail someone for messing with those fish recently?
Partying in there.
Yeah. Well, and your emphasis, what led me is your emphasis, the devil's pupfish. Well, where would the devil live but in the hottest place?
The devil's hole pupfish was discovered in the 1930s, which caused biologists to campaign for their protection. It was granted in 1952. When the Devil's Hole Cavern became part of the Death Valley National Park. As of 2022, there were 175 Devil's Hole pupfish, which is their highest population in 20 years.
You know when a sports team starts doing real good, everybody in that town starts liking that sports team?
Bandwagon, yeah, fair weather fans.
I need to get to this where I root for Brody.
You can be a Brody fair weather fan.
I root for you.
I believe it,
buddy.
I don't.
Yeah.
We're on question 5. We'll get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. The topic is fishing. What is the more common name for Didymo, a highly invasive species that's often spread by anglers? What is the more common name for Didymo, a highly invasive species It's often spread by anglers. Again, we have a confident Brody.
Yeah, almost all of the questions you've read so far, Brody has had an answer on his board before you finished reading it.
This last one I got a lot of personal experience with.
Oh, another heavy hint.
Well, yeah, it is, actually. <Uh-oh>.
He feels bad. He feels bad for the room. Doesn't want to run away with it. Again, looking for the more common name for Didymo. That is spelled D-I-D-Y-M-O. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying rock snot. Chris saying zebra mussels. Logan saying mussels. Brody saying rock snot. Sean saying zebra mussels. Gabby saying mussels. And Corinne saying green mussels. The correct answer is rock snot.
Oh, what I was so worried about is you're going to want a better name than that.
Yeah,
that can't be what that shit's called.
I mean, if carp doesn't qualify and rock snot does, I'm gonna.
Yeah, what is rock snot?
So Didymo is like a shortened version, I think, of its Linnaean name, and then rock snot is what it's more commonly referred to. If you were to like see a sign like "Stop the spread of rock snot,"
yeah.
Didymo is native to parts of Europe, Asia, and North America, but because it's now so widespread, it's difficult for biologists to actually determine where it belongs and where it doesn't. Hmm. Some negatives of Didymo is that it can alter spawning habitat, clog water intakes, and foul fishing gear.
If you see where certain areas, like in Alaska, they don't want you to wear felt-soled waders, that's
very common.
Yeah, that's what they're getting at.
Now, Brody, what's all your experience with rock snot?
Oh, it's just on when I was a fly fishing guide. Like this time of year, July, August, when the water gets warm, that shit would start blooming everywhere.
When Brody blurted that tip, it almost threw me off
because
he used to fish a lot of northerns in a lake where northerns got like illegally introduced, and so I was like. Then I was like, oh, no, but he also is a fishing guide.
That was on the news here this morning.
Rock's not?
Northerns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No problem.
But I was like, if someone called a northern a Didymo, I would have heard.
Phil, hit us with a scoreboard update. We are halfway through the game of trivia.
That's right. We have Logan, who has yet to make an impression on the scoreboard.
That's a nice way to put it.
I'm trying to think of nice ways to put it.
That's good.
Then we have Sean, Gabby, and Corinne, all with 1 point apiece. Steve and Chris have 3 points and in first place with 5 points. Oh. And a perfect game so far is Brody Henderson.
He's crushing it.
Bitch, Brody, man. A heater never before seen in Meat Eater Trivia.
I don't want something bad to happen, bad, Brody, but just get kicked by a mule
where
he's a little off.
I heard you guys are going on a trip together here.
You know,
so
we're
going to be suspicious if Brody doesn't come back in one piece.
I just want him to get a little off.
You know
that you were trying to root for him?
Sometimes, like, very good sports athletes, like, instead of retiring when they're at the top, they like drag their career on too long. I think I'm just going to retire.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say that might be me.
No. So Brody would be, well, I'm forgetting your name, but I was going to bring up the Tonya Harding situation. You kind of want
Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah, Nancy Kerrigan, that's right.
I want to tell you about an American-made success story and Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. Black Buffalo is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly, but keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, and wintergreen, all proudly made right here in the USA. Tell them, Chili.
The reason I like Black Buffalo pouches is, one, they're very discreet. And what I mean by that is I can throw one in and almost forget it's there. And I prefer the mint pouches.
So if you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. The single most valuable tool I have for chasing turkeys, next to my scatter gun, is the Onyx Hunt app. If I'm hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. If I'm not hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. I'm always using Onyx. I live by that stuff. I can't tell you the number of birds this app has put me on by allowing me to easily find new areas to hunt. It's invaluable. I use it all the time. Even properties I know super well. When I'm at my buddy Bubbly Doug's house, I'm using Onyx, and I've hunted this place a million times. With their compass mode, I can pinpoint exactly on the map where a gobble rang out from, and then figure out the perfect spot to set up. Meaning, if I'm sitting there, let's say I'm at Bubbly Doug's, I'm in the navel, and I hear pow, I'll like instinctively pull up Bubbly Doug's place on X, and I'll look at the topography, and I'll be like, oh, that sucker must be over in that little opening over there. Waypoints also, and the ability to share them, okay, comes in handy every spring. Whether that's revisiting old waypoints where I've been on birds before, or sharing them to buddies to help put them on birds, this app will help you find more turkeys. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you too. Use code MeatEater to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt this turkey season. Hey everybody, I'm talking here about Montana Knife Company from our very own state of Montana. This company was founded by one of the most experienced master bladesmiths in the world, Josh Smith, who over recent months I've become friends with, and my God, have I learned a lot about knives from this guy. Just a phenomenal hometown company that makes world-renowned knives. Josh has been making knives for 30 years. You get one of these knives up and open it, it is sharp like something that came from outer space. And here's the deal. They make knives that can be sharpened. You can work on these knives. If you don't want to work on them, you send it to them and they'll work on it. They'll get it sharp. Phenomenal hunting knives. If you want to see them in action, we just did, me and John Hayes, the taxidermist, just did a video about how to properly skin a black bear. Watch that video, and in that video, you'll see Montana Knife Company knives in action. MKC products usually sell out in minutes of being released, which is true. But now, for the first time, they're dabbling with having knives in stock on their site. So right now, you can grab yourself a Blackfoot 2.0 or the Ultralight Speed Goat. Use code MeatEater, and you get 10% off your first order. Montana Knife Company. Working knives for working people. 10% off with the code MeatEater. That's a good deal.
We're on to question 6. The topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us from Sean Doherty. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What is the only state where you can hunt Columbia blacktail, Columbia whitetail, and mule deer? Again, the topic is hunting. What is the only state where you can hunt Columbia blacktail, Columbia whitetail, and mule deer? Again, a very quick answer from Brody Henderson.
Well, you're just not looking over my way.
You had a quick answer as well?
He was faster than me on that.
Oh, wow.
I could see this little Brody fast.
The little Brody fast
is getting a little ridiculous.
I followed his hand motions.
You can tell me my hand motions when I wrote?
Oh. Yeah. One more time.
Looking for a mirror.
The four deer that you can hunt in this state, and it's the only state where you can do it, it's Columbia blacktail, Columbia whitetail, and mule deer. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Washington, Chris saying Oregon, Logan saying Oregon, Brody saying Oregon, Sean saying Washington, Gabby saying Washington, and Corinne saying Washington. The correct answer is Oregon.
Yes!
Got a scoreboard.
Although these four species are also found in Washington, you can't hunt Columbia whitetail deer there. Columbia whitetails are also heavily protected in Oregon, but there is a controlled hunt that takes place in the Roseburg herd. So the room did very well, and if they didn't get it right, they had the second best answer.
There's some serious taxonomic splitting going on in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Question 7. Brody may have ran away with it at this point, but we'll get a scoreboard update in a couple questions. The topic is woodsmanship. If you're in the Hoosier National Forest and hiking towards the star Polaris, then what direction are you headed? If you're in the Hoosier National Forest and hiking towards the star Polaris, then what direction
are you headed? It's the stupidest question I've ever heard. Yeah.
Okay.
Spencer has had, the last few games, he's had one question on each game. That's just like, that's kind of a trick question. Is this supposed to be the trick question?
No, it's just a regular old question.
If you're in the Hoosier.
That,
what matter?
If you're good at woodsmanship, you'll get it right.
Let's cut the chatter. I don't mind criticizing them, but I don't like any kind of...
Who knows?
Wait, read it one more time.
If you're in the Hoosier National Forest and hiking towards the star Polaris, then what direction are you headed? Does everybody have an answer to this stupid question?
I never said it was stupid.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying north, Chris saying north, Logan saying east, Brody saying north, Sean saying north, Gabby saying north, and Corinne saying west. The correct answer is north.
Doesn't matter where you're standing.
Exactly. You're anywhere in the northern hemisphere.
For saying that, I
well, Polaris.
That's what like makes a trick good question.
Polaris is more commonly known.
That's not north
or up.
Polaris is more commonly known as the North Star, and since the Hoosier National Forest of Indiana is located in the northern hemisphere, then if you walk towards Polaris, you're headed north.
Fine.
So it's north for everybody in the northern hemisphere. That's why I said the Hoosier National Forest.
I don't see anyone here that's in the southern hemisphere currently.
I know, but I've come around
to quite liking that question.
Yeah,
not everybody got it right.
It's one of those ones you might overthink.
I'll tell you, you know what you ought to throw in?
What's that?
That in the northern hemisphere, it's the only star that appears fixed in the sky.
I like it.
It's the only star that doesn't change its position throughout
Except
the course of the north.
Like 26,000 years, I think.
Which one points at it? The Big Dipper?
If you go to the Big Dipper, if you go to the outside of the cup of the Big Dipper and go the direction that that cup, like you go away from the cup and you count 7 spacings of the outer 2 stars, that will hit Polaris.
There we go.
Polaris might be, isn't that the last star on the handle of the Little Dipper as well?
It might be.
I thought it was part of one of the Dippers, but I don't know which. We're on to question 8. We will get a scoreboard update after this. The topic is conservation, and this next great question comes to us via Ryan Winchester. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. There are 215 species of darter in North America, and 4 of them are named after U.S. presidents. Name one of those presidents. There are 215 species of darter in North America, and 4 of them are named after U.S. presidents. Name one of those presidents. A stumped room so far.
It's a darter.
Not going to help you.
Yep.
215 species of darter and 4 are named after presidents. Just looking for one of those presidents.
I love this new call.
Sounds good.
Soccer. It's unbelievable, man.
You're going to be breaking that out with your super duper bull tag?
This is
the only one you'll take in there?
I like enjoy, as you can tell. The easy sucker.
Yeah, and you can multitask while you're using it. That's how, like, little thought you have to put into using that thing.
Those bulls will have never heard that call before in their lives.
Unless they listen to this show. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Lincoln. Chris saying Roosevelt. Logan saying Roosevelt. Brody saying Roosevelt. Sean saying Washington. Gabby saying Roosevelt. And Corinne saying Nixon.
Nixon was actually a damn good conservation president.
That was for shits and giggles,
I was actually
going
to give a throwaway one and say Trump as well. But
Nixon, the Nixon darter.
The four presidents are Theodore Roosevelt, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama.
Brody is playing a perfect game.
Perfect game. And I don't see him tripping up on these last two. Now, the professor. The professor and biologist who discovered these four species in 2012 decided to name them after leaders who they said best promoted conservation and environmental protection. They also discovered a fifth darter, which they named after former Vice President Al Gore. Phil, give us a scoreboard update.
Oh, it's down to two players because our esteemed guest, Chris Parrish, has 6 points.
Wow, he's already broken the record.
Right. He's still he's still in the running.
He's in the running because Brody has 8, Chris has 6. So if Brody does trip
how
up.
How many does Steve have?
Steve has 4.
For those of you at home, for those of you at home rooting for me, it ain't looking good.
Change all the two of you.
Chris, very impressive. Even if you get these last two wrong. You've already done it.
There you go.
But you think Brody's not going to stumble?
I don't see a spot for him to mess up here. Question 9. The topic is hunting. How many measurements are taken when scoring a bear skull? How many measurements are taken when scoring a bear skull? And this is goes by any book. If it's the Boone and Crockett book.
Very emotive,
the
Steve.
The Pope and Young book. They take the same amount of measurements when scoring a bear skull. Brody, are you going to get this one wrong?
He's so depressed.
No. Because, you know, I'll talk about
it. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying 2, Chris saying 3, Logan saying 5,
Chris
Brody
faltered.
Saying 2, Sean saying 2, Gabby saying 1, and Corinne saying 9. The correct answer is 2. To score a bear skull, you measure the length and width and add those numbers together.
Do we keep playing him though, Brody won?
We got to keep playing.
Yeah,
we got
stats.
Oh, because he might get to do $1,000.
That's right. If you want to learn how to do this without a calipers, then watch Clay Newcomb's video on themeateater.com called How to Score a Bear Skull. The last question, all that's left to play for here is if Brody gets to double the donation from $500 to $1,000, and it would be the first time that's ever happened.
I want to get one of them lion machines, a polygraph to make sure that there's not like a little thing going on.
I don't
here.
Have an earpiece in or anything. Like no one's feeding me stuff.
Well, listen, they've been fed
to Phil.
No, he gave Corinne all the answers, so we know that it's like a thing on his mind.
That's right. That's right.
He's not morally uncorruptible.
Yeah, he's like, he'll do it. Right? No one will argue.
The last question. The topic is fishing. What state is home to the world's largest noodling competition? What state is home to the world's largest noodling competition? Brody without an answer yet.
It's close up.
Looking for the state home to the world's largest noodling competition. Brody,
it's
how we doing
long,
over there?
I don't know, but like a couple years ago, my wife and I watched a documentary on Amazon, and I think it about noodling, and I think it might have been in there.
Wow. Does everybody have an answer?
Oh,
that's
Steve's
one of those things where age does help. Like you watch enough of the documentaries and stuff, Brody pulls one random thing out.
Yeah, but I'd want to have an age showdown between Chris and Brody.
Mm.
Yeah,
because age is a valuable tool in this game.
Yeah,
not with arthritis, but
go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Missouri, Chris saying Oklahoma, Logan saying Kentucky, Brody saying Oklahoma, Sean saying Oklahoma, Gabby saying Oklahoma, and Corinne saying Mississippi. The correct answer is Oklahoma.
Oh my God, a perfect answer!
Yes. 10 correct answers.
And the perfect
Holy
game.
Holy shit, he did the undoable.
One around. And the next closest, I believe, was Chris, who got 7.
That's
Chris had a great game.
Wow. Yeah. Brody had a perfect game. Just pull him out. It's almost uncanny how he does. Uncanny how he
does like
that.
I don't like where you're going with
Real
that.
Real suspicious.
Questioning my integrity.
We'll remind the audience again, these two are about to go to Alaska together, and they're going to be in a very remote place.
He's going to send me to all the shitty fishing spots.
Brody's going to come back, and people are going to be like, he's just a little off.
Yeah.
He's just a little
off. If he sees Steve holding a tire iron, he's not changing his tire.
So Brody,
I gotta find out like how long you gotta hold someone underwater before they get like a little oxygen deprivation.
Yeah.
Like no one really know. Maybe his wife would notice, and his trivia score would go down.
You could start
like
off
that
your,
level of damage.
You could start off your human toxicity of lead.
Yeah,
study, Brody.
That's a good idea.
That's right.
So Brody,
just little drips into his drink.
I think we're gonna paint
it's sweet
the
pepper.
Walls.
It's sweet pepper.
The $1,000. Where's it gonna go?
Well. I've been wanting to do something for kids, so I think let's do that Catch a Dream thing where they send kids with terminal diseases on hunting and fishing trips.
Man, who could argue with that one?
And he's a good guy to boot.
Real good guy.
Well, it's not his money.
So seems like if you think about it.
One more time, Brody. Where's the money
it's
going?
It's called Catch a Dream.
Catch a Dream.
Yeah.
Okay. Well
That's
done.
Great. Brody, congratulations on a perfect game. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
You've
you.
Been flirting with it? Some say you got it in the past.
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
But wasn't it like a contested? It was a he felt that he did?
That was a straight 10 for 10 he got.
But Brody, he's never done it before.
No, he did it once before, but it was before we had the $1,000 donation.
I think we were in the $100 donation.
Yeah, it was way back.
So he's had two perfect games?
Two perfect games. We played about 20 games of trivia, so that's going to be a new stat. 10% of the time, Brody gets a perfect game.
Yeah, I should just retire now.
Chris, thank you for playing. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right, join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's gonna be there. Phil the Engineer's gonna be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay? Every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, Wild Game Recipes for the Grill, Smoker, Camp Stove, and Camp Fire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at the Meat Eater.com. Hope to see you at the show.